But first, The Green Book. The movie just won the Oscar for Best Picture, despite criticism for being whitewashed. But let's take a look at the real Green Book. It was a guidebook that steered African-American travelers to safe places in the 1960s and even earlier. In the 1950s, Hank Hendricks was a teenager in Fresno getting ready for a family road trip to Arkansas.
My mom had cooked everything before we left. And we put our water and food and everything. And that's the way we would travel.
And if they turned on the radio, they could have had their pick between a baseball game or radio drama. Or a dose of reality.
Just the other day, one of the fine citizens of our community, Mrs. Rosa Parks, was arrested because she refused to give up her seat for a white passenger.
That's Martin Luther King Jr. in 1955. 2 years later, President Eisenhower would need to send federal troops to escort 9 children into a desegregated school in Arkansas.
This morning, the mob again gathered in front of the Central High School of Little Rock.
The Hendrickses left Arkansas during the Great Migration, eventually settling in Fresno in 1949. But visiting family in the South wasn't easy. On road trips, he, his parents, and his 4 siblings had to sleep in their car.
There was no such thing as accommodations along the highway. The only thing they wanted from African Americans at that time was money for some gas. Sometimes you couldn't even use restrooms at the gas station.
And restaurants? Forget about it.
I'm telling you, the restaurants, the gas stations, and any of those conveniences, they were absolutely not allowed to use them.
What his parents didn't know was there were guidebooks that listed diners, hotels, and car garages that welcomed African Americans. The biggest was the Negro Motorist Green Book.
They needed a green book. And a lot more, truthfully. Those things would have made a heck of a lot of difference.
The Green Book was published almost every year from 1937 to 67. It included thousands of businesses, including 30 in the Valley, mostly in West Fresno and Chinatown. So these were the locations that were in there. Doritha Williams and George Finley, both around 90 years old, remember almost all of them.
Buddy Lang.
Buddy Lang.
And Ruth.
20th Century Tavern, Buddy Lang.
Oh, 20th, those are the Elks.
Yep, that was the Elks.
Many were Black-owned, but not all. Like the Fresno Hacienda, a motel and nightclub at Clinton and 99.
I remember Nat King Cole coming out there when they had the swimming pool. You could see the people swimming in the pool from the bar.
Finley was born in Alabama. When he moved to Fresno in the 50s, he thought he'd left Jim Crow attitudes behind.
It amazed me because thinking that if I came to the West, I would have full access to everything everybody else had, which wasn't true when I arrived here.
Despite having a teaching credential, it took him years to get a job in a school. Doritha Williams, a retired speech pathologist, grew up in Fresno. Her family had been run out of Mississippi, but the fear of violence remained, even in California.
Bakersfield
was
terrible.
Terrible, yes. Oradell, you wouldn't want to go to Oradell, even right now.
The Ku Klux Klan has been active in the Valley. Claverns, as they were called, were founded as late as the 1930s in Visalia, Selma, and Taft. Neither Williams nor Finley knew of the Green Book, but by living here, it was obvious where they should and should not go.
You could not stop in Clovis.
At night.
You could not stop in Clovis in the daytime.
Travelers, though, that's who the Green Book was for. Candace Taylor is a documentarian putting together a book and museum exhibit on the Green Book. She says the worst were so-called sundown towns.
Some either rang a bell at 6 p.m. telling the domestics who were working in the town that they had to leave, or they would have a sign at the county line saying, N-word, don't let the sun go down on you here.
By some accounts, many Valley cities were sundown towns. Taylor says it was a matter of life and death.
You may be inconvenienced. That happened a lot. Humiliated, embarrassed. That happened a lot. But the reality was, you know, you could be not just harassed, but, you know, tortured and lynched and killed.
In just over 80 years, nearly 5,000 people were lynched in the U.S., mostly in the 1800s. But the last one was in 1964. The Green Book stopped being published just a few years later. Today, so many of these safe havens are gone, replaced by warehouses or highway on-ramps, or just big, empty lots, like this one in West Fresno, which Hank Hendricks tells me used to be a neighborhood called Jericho.
It's just a desolated area. It's been abandoned.
Before, it was a bustling strip of black-owned bars and hotels. One restaurant was listed in the Green Book called New Jericho. Hendricks, who worked for the city and county and was a longtime school district trustee, says a developer demolished it all in the 70s.
Did the African-American community lose kind of a central place to gather?
In a lot of ways, yes. But from a political perspective, there was a political nucleus over here. They kind of splintered that, and they're all over the place now.
It's a story that still holds true today. Even as many doors have opened over the years for African Americans, he says, many remain closed. With Valley Public Radio, I'm Carrie Klein.